A couple of months ago, on a lesson that I was studying, I came across a survey, this study, which comes out of Switzerland. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I put this in my favorites because this was a pretty startling study, and the conclusions that were drawn I thought were pretty conclusive. And it's something that I've been seeing in the last 30 to 40 years. And it's finally beginning to come to fruition. And the problems that we have seen from this political correctness are now very real and very live in our society, and the problems that they are causing are manifest. So when I read this study, and it is called The Demographic Characteristics of the Linguistic and Religious Groups in Switzerland by Werner Hogg and Philippe Warren, it was done in January of 2000. I've read this thing a dozen times since I put it in my favorites because it's a very fascinating study. This information was able to be obtained because in Switzerland, they ask a lot of different questions when they take their census. They ask for a person's religion, they ask about their language, they ask about their nationality, and they ask a lot of questions that are not even allowed in the United States. And because of the liberality of the Swiss and the ability to take this study was done or was contracted by the Church of England. It came out of England, and the researchers wrote some questions that they wanted asked by the Swiss so that they could get a handle on what they saw happening in England. And they asked questions about whether a person's religion carried through to the next generation. If it did carry through, they wanted to know why. If it did not carry through, they wanted to know why not. And so they gave some questions to the Swiss that they could ask. And the answers are really very revealing. There's one thing that came out of this study that is far above anything and everything else that was determined. It's overwhelming. And that fact is, in religion, it is the father of the family that determines the future attendance or the absence of the church of the children. I'm going to write some numbers on the board. I'll do it quickly, but I think it helps us understand. If both father and mother attend church regularly and take their children, 33% will become regular church members. 41% will become irregular, and 25% will not worship at all. If the father is not a member and does not attend services, but the mother does regularly and conscientiously, regular members of the children amount to 2%. 37% will be irregular. 60% will not practice at all. Father and mother, no father, mother. If the father is yes, but the mother is irregular, we're seeing a 33% rate of children that would remain in the church. But one thing that was important on this, that when they found that the mother was irregular and the father was irregular, it was 33%. However, if the mother did not go at all and the father did, that figure jumped to 44%, and they felt it was because of the loyalty that the children had toward the daddy. If neither parent went to church and was not a regular church attendance, 4% of the children became regular attendees. 80% didn't go to church at all. Now this one we understand, because that's the way it is. But let me give you another one. If the father was irregular, just went occasionally, 25% of the children became regular church members, 23% became irregular. Now those are some pretty interesting figures when you look at it. When mother and daddy both go, one-third of the children of that family stay in the church as regular attendees. 41% are irregular, 25% leave. If the father does not attend, 2% of the children are all retained in the church for worship. 37%, 60% leave. And right on down the line, you see, this figure is really better when neither one of them attend than when just the mother without the daddy. Now, these figures were, I think they were probably as unbelievable to the English that asked for it. And this was done for the Church of England, but they also added the Protestant churches of the area with the Anglicans and the Episcopalians and the Presbyterians and the Methodists. So they added all of these things together, and they determined that this was not only a real statistic in the Church of England, but it was also a real figure for the Protestant congregations in England. People, we got a problem. Now, this problem is exactly what the Church of England said. We got a problem. And this is something that is truth in England. It is also true in America. So I think we need to look at this, and we need to understand the influence that a father has on their children. What causes the children in the next generation to continue to be faithful? Why are they faithful? And what causes them not to be faithful? And if they're not faithful, why are they not faithful? And what can we do to solve this problem? And the conclusion from this study is that if a father does not go to church, and if a father does not take his children to church, regardless of his wife's devotion, only one child in 50 will ever attend church regularly. We're going to talk about this after prayer. Men, we've got a responsibility. As a God-made creature, we have a responsibility. Society has neutered the mankind today, and they have emasculated mankind. They have minimized us. They have taken away our authority. They have made us more politically correct. But we have a responsibility and a God-given responsibility and authority that was given to us as God, as the male part of the gender, that we have let get away from us, and society is suffering because we were not willing to stand up when the feminists began to take rights away from us in this political correct society. The results of this survey are shocking. When you look at 33% as opposed to 2% as to a father and mother taking their kids to church and a mother taking their kids to the church, this is shocking. When you're looking at 4% of the children that stay in the church when neither one of their parents are faithful, this is shocking. And we are losing our children. We're losing it in our church. We are losing it, and they're losing it in all the denominations in America. They are also losing in the denominations in Great Britain, to the point this has become a crisis. And it's time that we do something about it. We are politically correct in this country, and the political correctness of our country is destroying us. We know what the criminologists and the psychologists and those that are in higher education have known and have told us for years. We also know what traditional Christians know and have been telling us for years, and that is the fact that you cannot change, you cannot buck the biology of the created order. God created man, and he gave man responsibilities and authorities. He created them in a certain way. And biologically, he set this in this man so that mankind would continue to be the same. He created woman. And with woman, he gave her certain things that he wanted her to do. He wanted her to be in charge of. He wanted her to be responsible for and have the authority over. But God created man and woman, and he created man and woman differently with different responsibilities. And God gave the man the authority to be over his family, to be over the church, and to take care of his children. And he gave the mother the ability to nurture. The father's influence from the very determination of a child's sex is all in the father, because the father determines whether it will be a boy or a girl. And society has thrown this so far out of proportion. They have diminished the role of man. Man has been emasculated by modern society to the point that he is no longer authority. He is no longer responsible in the role that God gave him. Now, a mother's role will always be primary in the terms of intimacy and care and nurture. You don't see big, strong men with a big heart tattooed on their arm with dad written in it. They write mom. And they have no shame with this. A mother is always going to have that special place in her children's life. And there's not a man and there's not a father in this world that will ever be able to substitute for that nurture and love and care that a woman will give to her children. But when a child begins to grow and he reaches an age of maturity where he begins to know what's right and what's wrong, where he's beginning to get out into the world and he sees what the world is really like, and those glasses come off that have discolored his world and his parents, when that child gets up to that age, that child, both male and female, looks to his father, her father, for guidance. The father is the role model. And when children see the church as a woman and children thing and the father is not involved, they respond accordingly and they either become irregular in their attendance or they quit the church entirely. Both adult men and women will conclude, and this study proved it, that dad's absence indicates that going to church is not really a grown-up activity, but it's something for women and for children. Something else this study showed, that when a child began to grow up and to mature, they looked more to their dad for guidance than their mothers. And the mother's choices become dramatically less effective on their children than that of their fathers. And that's why, as men, we were given the responsibility to raise our children and to discipline our children and to teach our children what they were supposed to do, both society, social, in social society, and also in the church. But look what has happened in society in the last 40 years. Society has started, and this all started in the early 70s, the late 60s. It bloomed in the 90s. It became very powerful in the 90s, and it's extended on to the 2000s. And society has become more coarse. There's less discipline in society. There's less responsibility in society. And this also has bled into the church, both English and Americans. We have so many single parent families in our world today that it has become, it is no longer the exception, it is now the norm. We have so many complexities of the step relationships in our families today that it has become the norm and not the exception. And when you've got these men that are just coming in the front door and out the back door on a continual process to come spend a little time with mama, those men don't care anything about those kids. They don't care anything about someone else's kids. They don't care anything. Really, they're really selfish in their self. But society has allowed this to happen because we have accepted this type of a situation and it made it normal. We are ministering in churches today that accept fatherless as a norm, sometimes even as an ideal. And there's churches right here in San Angelo today that there are no men. It's all controlled by women. The women run the church. The women are the preachers. The women are the priests. The women are the evangelists. The women make all the decisions. There is no male influence. They have emasculated the men in the church. They have gone to gender-free Bibles. They are teaching to a fatherless flock. And they have decided in their own wisdom, if we will make everything maternal, if we will take out the masculine influence in our churches that God designed and created, and we make it more maternal, easier, nicer, gentler, more lovely, that we're going to make all of our women priests and preachers, then we're going to get the women to come to our church, they're going to bring their children, the men are going to follow, and it's just all going to be fuzzy, fuzzy, warm, and exactly like they want it to be. They're going to make the church relevant to the society in which it's ministered. And it's not working. It is not working. This started back in the 70s. It has continued through today. It is not working. Men are not attracted by the feminist and the motherly aspect of the new ministry. And feminism really doesn't care much about mothers. And feminism really does not care much about wives. Feminism does not care anything at all for any male, regardless of their standing. And feminists really don't care much about children. Feminists care about feminists. So when they said, we will create our maternal churches and the children will flock into this new feminized church, they're going to be drawn by this safe and nurturing, non-judgmental environment. We're going to get rid of the masculinity. It did not work. And at the core of feminism, infants and children are really not important at all. And they never were the major beneficiaries. The major beneficiary of the feminist movement is the feminist and what they can gain. And as a result of this, the churches are losing. The churches are losing men. And if the Swiss figures are correct, when we lose men, we are also losing children. The point I'm trying to make here is that you cannot feminize the church and keep the men, and you cannot keep the children if you do not keep the men. In the Church of England, pre-1990, it is said that the church ratio man to woman was 45% man and 55% woman. And this was in line with the Protestant churches in the same area. In this decade of evangelism, which started in the 70s and the 80s, which was primarily through the 90s, this decade of evangelism in which the feminists took over and began to make the church more maternal and take away this masculine influence, 300,000 people left the Church of England. 10 years. 300,000 people left the Church of England. 200,000 of them were men. So when we got away from that God-given plan of men being in charge and men being the preachers and men being the evangelists, and we made it more feminine and we emasculated our men, 300,000 people in this decade left the Church of England. 200,000 were children. They say that in that same time period, in this decade of evangelism, they say that the attendance in the Church of England dropped by a minimum of 50%. Many say that by the year 2000, the Church of England had lost two-thirds of its children. And this is proven in the statistics of the Church of England. That's why they wanted this study, because they saw this terrible hemorrhage of their church. And they didn't know, well, they probably did know why, but they couldn't prove it statistically. This study proved it. A fatherless society and a significant rejection of traditional fatherhood has produced some very dreadful results, and they have come with great rapidity. It has happened quickly. The neutering, the emasculation, the devaluing, the exclusion of loving and protective authority and responsibility of the fathers to elevate mothers and to reduce that of fathers has been a drastic effect upon the church and upon society. Masculinity has been attacked, it has been minimized, and the church and the society both suffers. You know, 40 years ago, they said that when a young man was born and raised, that he had some certainty on who he was and what he was supposed to be. There's this biological thing that was built into a young man. 40 years ago, there was a certainty of his masculinity. And he was encouraged by society to be the man that he ought to be, to be proud of their maleness and to be proud of their masculinity. But in the last 40 years, it has been changed so much that to be masculine, to be a man, is now looked upon with contempt and hate. And it's looked upon as being something that is not natural. And young men are confused. They're confused because of their role and their vocation and their biological needs that God created them with. But yet when they go into the church and go into society, these biological needs, they're not there because they're being condemned for what they were doing. It started in the 60s when the educational system began to use education as a tool for social engineering, and they did engineer. And they changed, they flipped it as to what we expected and we have been taught and what creation told us was the male role and the female role. And then we've got the entertainment world that has also used their tools to change society, and you don't see a male, you don't see a man, you don't see a father anymore on any television show that's portrayed as decent and honorable and good and the head of his household and the discipliner of his child. You don't see this anymore because it's not there. John and I have talked about this for the last 20 years. And if you watch commercials and television for the last 20 years, anytime there's a man and a woman and a child and a joke is made, the man is always the butt of the joke. It is every time the man is the butt of the joke. In the 2 months that I have been reading this and studying it, I have realized, and I've started watching commercials even stronger. And in the last 2 months, not only have I not seen a man be anything but the butt of the joke, the only man that I have seen in a position of strength and masculinity is a black man. A black man is still elevated as being big and strong and masculine and in control, but you don't see it with white men. because we are the butt of the joke and we are kept down, and there's absolutely nothing that the white man has to protect himself. In the absence of fatherhood, it is there's no explanation other than this for all of the feral males that are in our society today. This is something that is biologically put into a young man, and when it is not able to exhibit these masculine traits, and he is caused and forced to be feminine in the way he acts, they turn to gangs. They turn to this street law where they can do these things that they do and still have this right order, this pack order, this respect and this ritual that they deserve and they need so that they can have their male identity. They go to the gangs that they're able to achieve this. I watched a show on last night, 48 hours. 15, 16, 17-year-old kids in the, there was three or four cities that were talking about St. Louis, New Orleans, and several of the others. But they have these rap groups. So this neighborhood will have a rap group, and this neighborhood will have a rap group, and this neighborhood will have a rap group. And what's happened is all these rap groups have started going to the other rap groups, and they're killing themselves. They're killing them. 17-year-old boy killed another guy from the next neighborhood over a rap group. These are the gangs that these young men are going into so that they can have this natural order of things, because society will not allow it, because it is not politically correct, and because they have been neutered, they have been emasculated to the point that they're not able to do that God created them to do. England, it says, it's not only in the ghettos, but it's also in the higher levels of society where the dysfunctional families are raising children with an inability to sustain deep or enduring relationships between male and female, because the roles have been reversed. The roles have been reversed. They have been programmed to not be masculine, but to be more feminine, and to be more caring, and to look at their feelings, and all of this thing that feminists have done to us under the guise of political correctness in the last 40 years. Let me talk to you just a little bit, and this is straight out of the Church of England, and it's talking about their clergy. It said that the theological training that the Church of England gives to their students of theology to make them a priest in their church, it says there is very little place for genuine masculinity. They emphasize the training to make these men more flexible, more sensitive, more inclusive, and to have more collaborative ministry. Be more caring, to be nicer and sweeter. Don't be masculine, don't show masculine attributes, but instead, calm it down and to be better. They are taught, they are neutered, they are emasculated to the point that society today, in the church, in the leadership, there's many that are more women than they are men. Men are perfectly capable of being kind and being gentle and being understanding and being flexible and being sensitive, but that's not enough. They want the men not only to be this, but they want them to be spineless and feeble-minded and compromised. The Church of England says that the men that they are raising and bringing into their priesthood, it said, men in short who would not be able to stand up in a draft. In other words, he has been totally emasculated to the point. And it says, it's very ironic and strange, but it says since the feminists have begun to do this to us, and we have pacified the feminists with this type of a more emotional type male, it said men are not near as attractive to people as they used to be. They're not attractive to the boys. They're not attractive to the girls. They're certainly not attractive to those masculine men that are out in society, because no one wants to be around this priest that has feminized himself to the point that has been called for and compromised. So the feminists, they don't care much for the males anymore. The males have lost their appeal to them, just like they have to everyone else. And it went on to say, and I thought this was very, very telling. It said that a masculine male priest in the Church of England was still a natural magnet in a confused and disordered society and the church. The masculine priest still bring people in. The feminized priest, they are repelled by society. Now, let's look at other religions in the world to see if they have followed this. You know, you don't find this feminization of the males in the Muslim world. because the Muslims will not be feminized. And I'm not saying that the way they treat their women is right, because it's not right. They own them. It's possession. And God created us equal, but he created men with the authority, and he created women with other authorities. But the Muslims don't accept their women with any authority. They beat them down, their possessions. But the Muslim men still run the country, and they still run their own dealings. And you can see how the Muslims are growing. How about these Orthodox Jewish leaders in Israel? You know, they haven't succumbed to this as well. Because they still believe that a man has a job to do and responsibility, and a woman has a job to do and a responsibility, and they will not allow themselves to be feminized. And if they were ever feminized to the point that our men are today in general, that little country of Israel would be nothing but smoke. And they realize that, they know that, and so they have kept their masculinity. A church that is conspiring against the blessings of the patriarch, not only destroys the male, but an emasculated male disgraces God, the Creator, because God created man with certain authority and responsibility. He created woman with certain responsibilities. And when we begin to change the order that God has created, we have disgraced God the Creator because we've gone against him. When we give up our masculinity, when we give up our authority and our responsibility to the church, we have given up our position of authority in the church, we disgrace Christ. But Christ said that men would run the church and that it was a shame, it was a disgrace for a woman to speak in the church. When we change these things, when we flop them 180 degrees, we are disgracing Christ and the sacrifice that he made. And we are doing the same thing in society. When we change the creative pattern that God established, then we're changing everything in the face of society. So in conclusion, let me say, if there is no father, there is no family, and there is no faith. And these figures prove that. Winning and keeping men is essential to the community of faith, and it is vital to the work of all mothers. And it is imperative that men regain their strength as God created them for the future salvation of our children. The politically correct, emasculated male is a failure. He's a failure in the church. He is a failure in society. And this goes against the order of God the Creator. That's all I got. This has been an interesting thing, and I've read this a dozen times because it explains so much of what we're seeing in our world today with the disintegration of our society and the problems that we're seeing. This explains so much because man gave up his God-given right of authority and responsibility, and we've allowed someone else to take us over and to emasculate us. I think it's interesting. Agree with me or not, I think it's what the problems are. Let's have a song of invitation.